Hello, witches. This is Kara Kovacs, and this is Business Witch. As a third-generation witch, at least, and a business and life coach for mission-driven entrepreneurs and leaders, I teach you how to make money and magic as liberatory practices. Because when we know, seek, and embrace our full potential, we create a better world for everyone. Here you'll find tools, conversations, spells, and inspiration that take you from waiting to creating so you can build the business and life you're oh so worthy and capable of having. Let's go. Hello, Bewitchers. Before we get into today's content, I just wanted to thank you for listening and let you know that if you want to support a small business owner, the best way to do that is to share about their work. In this case, I deeply appreciate your 5-star reviews on your preferred streaming platforms, resharing episodes like this one to your social media stories. I promise to reshare. Or if you feel so called to stay connected, I give free love notes with lots of business tips, advice, prompts, free classes, access to insider information on my email list every single week. You can head to www.karakovacs.com to subscribe. You'll get a curated list of our favorite episodes of this show, as well as access to lots of classes, a library of past free workshops, and tons of information to support you in your own small business journeys. So thanks so much in advance for hanging out with us on all the places, Instagram, email, and here at the podcast. Let's get into the show. Hello, sweet friends. We are back for another episode of this solo podcast masterclass series, say that 5 times fast, where we will be going over a variety of topics that I just get asked about most often from the people in my programs and from my clients. And this one is going to be a really fun one. I hope it empowers you. I hope it lights you up a little bit. This episode is all about how to make a profit without social media. Now, I'm going to be sharing in this episode a couple of tips and tricks for this, but this episode also really builds off of the one that came out last week. So it's the last one before this on whatever streaming platform you like to use to listen to your podcasts. And that one was all about systems auditing. So when we talk today about how to make a profit without social media, you really can't do that without a system. So it might be a different system. It might be an email list. It might be teaching workshops in your local community. It might be something like what you're listening to right now, a podcast, but you still need a system to get your work out there to people, to market your work, to show evidence and proof that what it is that you teach about and share about can be valuable and support people, and to find ways to get it in front of your ideal clients, which is why social media is a really, really great tool for that. And I am absolutely not knocking it. If you love being on the platform, if you love being on the platform, you love using social media, it's supporting you, it's a creative outlet. Like, there are some clients I have who just absolutely slay on social media. They make reels and they look really, really good. That is not me. That's not how my creativity tends to express itself. And I've just noticed I've had a waning interest and less fun on that platform. And a misnomer I see in the industry at large, and specifically within my own client roster, is that people feel like they are obligated to spend a lot of time utilizing that platform in order to create clients. And then when they perceive of their results as not being what they want, whatever that looks like for them or for you personally, they actually feel bad about themselves. And, you know, this is one of the drawbacks of social media in general, that it really has the power to make you feel bad about yourself. And to make that applicable to other areas of business, this is why you want to try as much as you possibly can. I understand that it's vulnerable to put your soul work out there and to really invest in sharing things that you've spent time and effort working on with people. And so it's easy to conflate that how well you perceive that to be going means something personal about you, but that really could not be further from the truth. Don't make the results of your business personal evidence of your worth as a person. That will drive you crazy. It is a recipe for getting even worse results because now you're operating from a mindset of feeling bad about yourself. And so whether that's about your launch results or your social media analytics or whatever, none of this has anything to do with your worth as a person. And if you find consistently that engaging with that platform makes you feel worse and not better, it's highly unlikely that you're creating content that is converting to clients from the mindset of this makes me feel shitty about myself. And so I wanted to offer some perspective on that in case you've ever had that mindset block, some things that you can do instead in order to create audience, community, engagement, clients, cash injections into your business, and really just to destigmatize the way that we all feel about that platform in general. So the first thing I'll do is I'll just share a little bit about my own personal journey with social media, lessons from a multi-six-figure business owner who has taken multiple six-long-month breaks off of the platform since becoming slowly and slowly less enchanted with it. So I'll share a little bit about that. I'll share some statistics that might be helpful for you to know, some information that I've learned recently in my own research about what it looks like to get off of social media. And then I'll also be sharing some examples of business owners that I either know personally or have learned from who have very limited social media presences and are still making money running successful businesses, just to give you some examples of what else is out there and how you don't have to be married to the platform. All right, so let's dive into this. And if you like this episode, we always appreciate when you share, even if that means on social media, even though I was just trash talking it a little bit, I will always reshare your post. And if you want to get these other episodes that are coming out over the next couple of weeks, this masterclass series to support you in your business, you're going to want to hit the subscribe button so that you get notified when they drop. I also have tons of resources on my email list, so you can head to karakovacs.com and subscribe. I would love to stay connected to you. All right, so I'm a mid-millennial. That's, I think, what we're calling it these days. There are like the elder millennials and the baby millennials, and I'm a mid-millennial. And as a mid-millennial, I got on MySpace, I think it was in eighth grade. So I was in middle school the first time that I got on a social media platform. And I definitely remember in middle and high school having this idea that like, I had to represent myself in a particular way, that I was curating for the first time in my life a public persona, which even saying that, curating a public persona as a 13-year-old, there's something highly problematic and creepy about that to me. Maybe you relate to this. Maybe you're a mid-millennial too. But I was, you know, getting on social media and thinking about how I could represent myself as somebody who people, particularly men, would find attractive, again, as a 13-year-old, creepy. What did however many tagged posts I had mean about me? Who was going to be in my top eight? Maybe you relate to this. And I think that this is, you know, just one of the impacts of growing up as the first generation who had social media and was like learning how to show up on it. And largely our parents, because they had no previous experience with it, were unaware with what was really going on a platform like that. And I think it really shaped our psyches in a particular way. So I've been on social media like that in some form or another, curating a persona and feeling obligated to share every single thing that happens to me since I was 13 years old. And never before in human history have we ever had a space like a global town hall, I guess, where if you break up with somebody, there's a social imperative to let the internet know. If you get married, if you have a baby, if you have a miscarriage, if you get divorced, if you have a job change, like we're all announcing it to each other all the time. Sometimes to people we like don't even like, who we were friends with, you know, in college, who for whatever reason were still connected on social media. There's such an energy inherent in the space of obligation and presentation. And it's really what you make of it, right? So like, I know plenty of people who just choose not to share those kinds of things, or who have opted out of certain platforms that are like not fun for them. But I'm sharing about this and sharing about my own personal experience to really think about the context of what it means to participate in a public forum like that. I remember growing up that my dad used to always say that there was some kind of unspoken rule that you're not supposed to call people after 9 p.m. at night. And he would become enraged if our phone would ring after 9 p.m. unless it was like a catastrophic emergency. And now we live in a time where anybody can contact you, even if they don't know you, 24 hours a day without any barriers. Like someone can just slide into your DMs and give you their unwarranted opinion about what they think of you based on whatever it is that you've said online all the time, every day. So there's this huge amount of vulnerability that is created by the platform. And then there's also a huge amount of pressure that is created that our success should be dictated by how many people want to follow us or want to like our stuff. And I think because of that, it can feel really personal when you share things online and you don't like the way that they were received. And for some of us, myself included, it kind of hits on a childhood wound of like lovability and acceptance as a teenager when we started engaging with these platforms in the first place. And so I want to bring that context into your awareness because we can give those spaces so much power and make them mean either our success or our failure or our lovability or our self-worth. And really, they're just a platform that most of us are addicted to and, you know, constantly checking our phones and looking at. And I think that because of that, a lot of people, particularly since COVID, have gotten burnt out by the space. So if you think back to quarantine, we were all in our homes, and the main way that we were able to connect, and the main way also that we were able to find out about a lot of news that was not being broadcast by mass media, particularly when BLM and the protests started, social media was a huge lifeline. It was my business boomed on social media in 2020 because I had had a moon circle. I'd never taught a Zoom class before in my life. I had a moon circle I was teaching in person, and I brought it online in 2020, and there were like 200 people coming to the circle at one point because people were so eager for community. That was our digital, you know, living room, our digital bar or nightclub or community center. Like that's where people were hanging out, and they were so eager for connection and so eager for spaces and places to feel like they could be seen and be witnessed in their experiences. And everybody was hanging out on Zoom. And then as we return to some semblance of normal life, I don't want to say life is back to normal because for sure it is not. But as we return to meeting in person again, I think people got really burnt out using the platforms. We had spent hours and hours just obsessively combing through our feeds. And maybe some of you are still doing that. But I would imagine very few of you are doing that without having at least some kind of internal self-awareness where you're critiquing whether or not that is the best thing for your mental health to just be constantly scrolling through a feed. So I took a workshop in January of this year about divesting from social media, getting off of social media. And one of the statistics that Alexandra Franzen, who does not have social media, she is a, I think, seven-figure copywriter. You can look her up on Google if you want to check out her email list, which is the main place she stays in touch with her community. But she was talking about how 30% of users have deleted at least one social media profile in the last year. And I think that for a lot of people, that makes a lot of sense. They're just like, I'm not having fun on this platform anymore. I wake up, I look at it, I get traumatized by seeing all of the horrors in the world broadcast straight to this little tablet in my hand, and I haven't even gotten out of bed yet, right? And so people are burnt out using the platform and they're leaving. What does this mean for you and your business? Well, it means your analytics are going to go down. It means that you might be converting fewer customers from social media than you were, say, in 2019. It means that your customers are hanging out other places. They're eager to get information in different ways. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still on social media. There are so many things I appreciate about the platform, in particular, reels about cute dogs, But I also am really invested in getting my news there because a lot of the times hearing stories from people directly on the ground, the only place that you can hear those stories is by following along on social media because that information is not being broadcast on our major news networks. But I personally am not using social media largely to find like coaching things that I want to purchase. I make most of my purchasing decisions as a consumer through word of mouth, through things like finding podcasts that I like and becoming a regular listener and referral, like, which I guess is also word of mouth, like asking people, who do you trust in the industry? I'm curious to know about them. And so for you, the best way to know how your people like to find stuff is by really thinking about how you like to find stuff. So if you have never scrolled through social media, read one post that really stuck out to you one time, immediately went to that person's link in bio, booked a call, and paid them $5,000 to become your life coach, why are you expecting other people to do that? It's so funny when I reflect that to clients where it's like, you are expecting people to make purchasing decisions in a way that you would never make a purchasing decision. And then you're like, my business isn't working. And it's like, you would never buy anything like that. Why are you selling like that? Anyway, it is absolutely possible to convert customers from social media. But what I would say the strongest use for that platform is, if you are a service provider, is for building brand awareness about what it is that you do, trust and community with the people who do follow you, that they can come to you for the specific kind of thing that you teach about and that the way that you teach it is resonant and that they enjoy it. And if they want to continue to stay connected to you, they can go do so on some of your other platforms, i.e., in my case, podcasts and an email list or maybe a Facebook group or whatever. Not that you are trying to sell them something in every single post and expecting them to buy it. You would probably unfollow an account that was only trying to sell you things. So now that we've looked at a little bit of this from a context perspective and hopefully grounded you into the reality that whether or not you choose to use that platform, having authentic energy where you actually like using it and you share on it to demonstrate that you know what you're talking about and find people who are aligned and care about those things that you are talking about, as opposed to buy my several thousand dollar package, you can manifest $1 million by joining my $500 challenge, whatever. Like, those things just are not as resonant anymore. I'm not saying it's impossible to sell those things on social media because people obviously still are. But if you don't have an existing audience and you don't have brand credibility, that's very unlikely you're going to make sales that way. And if you don't enjoy it, if going on makes you feel shitty and it's just not how you like to think about things, let's look at other ways to build profitable business models. Okay, so I want to give you guys some examples of businesses that are doing really cool things. And maybe they're in some cases on social media, maybe in others, they're not on social media at all. So one example of this, and one of the reasons I think that this is such a great example, is because I only went to one of her events one time in September of last year, but I have seen, like, she does post on social media. She uses social media as a platform. Her share about her events since going, and it's very obvious, like there are at least 20, if not 30 people at most of her events, that she's serving the local community in Los Angeles in a way that I haven't seen anybody else do. So I'm talking about, you can follow her on Instagram if you want to. Her handle is @JessBeyondTheBody. And I found out about her from Eventbrite. Those of you who are local to LA may resonate with this. I find LA to be a really like isolating place because it's so vast and spread out. People don't really leave their neighborhoods much. And in New York, you would just like talk to people who were sitting next to you at a bar because they were sitting next to you. People don't do that as much here. And so I find it really hard to make and cultivate community in a way that was easy in other cities that I have lived in. Anyway, it was my friend's birthday and she found on Eventbrite a queer urban foraging event where we all met up at a Los Angeles park. We pulled a radish out of a storm drain and lots of people ate it. Not me, because I'm a Virgo and I was like, I'm not eating that storm drain radish. Anyway, I'm sharing all of this with you. It was not a cheap event. It was probably like $40 or $50. And there were like 25 people there. And Jess does these kinds of events multiple times per month, whether it's foraging, polyamorous meetups, queer board game night, all these kinds of classes. She makes zines and she built an entire business doing this. And her events are really well attended. Yes, she advertises them on Instagram, but like I found out about it from Eventbrite. And now maybe one of you out there is listening who is local to LA, who's now going to hear about it and go to her event. And one of the reasons that I wanted to share about her business, even though I haven't been to an event since, is that you have no idea who's talking about you or where they're talking about you, whether or not you happen to be directly connected to them, have or have not made money off of them or served them in some way, have had them as a client. People are finding out about you in 9,000 different ways, whether it's the Eventbrite or the mention from a friend, the referral, right? So building up networks takes time. It takes consistency. It takes dedication. And you don't necessarily need to use social media to do that. She's been hosting events in LA for years. I went to one in September. I'm bringing it up now on my podcast in February. So like 5 months later. And maybe one of you on here is listening and is like, I'm going to go to one of her events in 3 months, right? So this is the ecosystem of how business is created. And you can be doing everything. You can be posting every day, serving your email list, serving your clients powerfully, and be wondering like, where are my people? Where are my people coming from? And they're coming in ways that you just doing a good job and showing up is creating, but that you actually cannot control. And I think it's really important to remember that you can do so much. You can be doing everything. And also for some of you, like you are already doing everything and you haven't acknowledged yourself for it. You've just been wondering why it's not working and being frustrated. And you have to give things time to make manifest. I haven't spoken to Jess about this, but I would be curious if her earlier events were really, you know, that well attended. It takes time building things up. When I started my Moon Circle, which was the thing that all of my first clients came from, there were probably like 5 to 7 people every single month at least. And then by the time I brought it online, there were 200 people in the room. That was over a year and a half into having consistently run these things. So if you want to build a marketing channel that is separate from social media and you're judging the results is not happening fast enough in the beginning iterations, you're probably going to give up on that initiative before it has time to be fruitful for you. And that the point of those kinds of community building initiatives is not to make an immediate profit, but rather to build brand awareness and community around what it is that you do. It is a long game. Social media can also be a long game. Podcasting can also be a long game. It's really more about building awareness and community than it is about turning an immediate profit. And that is super important to remember. So another person's business, again, I want to share with you. I brought her up already, Alexandra Frazin, who is a ghostwriter and a copywriter. She has a copywriting agency. You can go and check out her website. As I said, she has zero social media. She has written books for some of the most famous people in our industry. She has a over 15,000 person email list, and she has been 100% off social media since 2015. So really through organically building community, guesting on other people's podcasts, writing books for, you know, major industry names, and then having those people promote her work, she's built this private curated community space where she can serve her people, but she doesn't have to simultaneously be online. And I want you to remember that that is possible for you as well. In 2022, I was feeling really burnt out by social media, and I took a 6-month break for the first time since being 13 years old and getting on MySpace. And I had my highest earning month of all time the second month I was off social media. This last round of Business Witch, my signature course that I relaunch 3 times a year, I barely promoted it on social media because I was just, again, burnt out, not having fun using the platform. My brain doesn't really work in a way of liking to turn things into slide posts. I am going to be transparently, I like to be honest with you guys, hiring some support with that because I do think social media is a really valuable platform to advertise your services on. But for this last launch of Business Witch, I barely promoted on social media and we had our highest enrollment of all time, largely people coming from me having done a live launch event. So I teach masterclasses. If you want to attend one, sign up for my email list. That's where we promote them. Or coming from my email list, right? Like those two marketing strategies have proven to be so much more lucrative than social media promotion for me personally and in my business. There are so many coaches I know who are in the 5, 6, 7-figure range who have minimal social media followings, who really have curated their community from building out within their direct network. In my own client roster, I have some clients who were able to make 50, 60 grand in the first 6 months of their business just by leveraging their existing network. And what I mean by that is making a list of everybody that they know and love, writing to them to let them know that they've started a business, asking to have a little Zoom coffee date with them, sharing, not selling, sharing about what it is that they're doing, and asking, do you know anybody who would need this or would help? And like creating immediate revenue from the kinds of clients that that strategy created, which 7 years in, doing that kind of thing is still one of the strongest strategies for my own business. So I just want to encourage you to think outside of the box. I always say this to my clients. There's always another door. There's always another strategy you can try. There's always another community center to reach out and offer a class to start your own classes, even if you're going and sitting in a park, to build an email list, start that yesterday, invite everybody you know to join it, write people really impactful and valuable messages and do it consistently, not just when you want to sell them something. Start a podcast, start a book club. There are so many things that you can be doing that can create clients for you. And then if you give them time to plant seeds and grow, will create clients for you in ways that you could have never possibly imagined. And you can go on social media and share about the fact that those things are happening, but you don't need to be married to that platform in order to create revenue in your businesses. I just want to close this episode out by screwing your head on straight. I had to think about how it was I wanted to express that. Social media is an incredible marketing tool. It is a space where there are thousands, nay, millions of your ideal customers literally hanging out and looking for people like you who do what only you can do in the way that only you do it. And if you go on there and you only try to sell something, you lack clarity in how it is that you're communicating and marketing it, you're not enjoying yourself, you don't love looking up hashtags or fitting your long form content into a 90-second sound bite, it's just not your thing. Your brain doesn't work that way. It's taking up tremendous amounts of time trying to strategize it effectively for very little return on investment, then it may not be the best marketing channel for you specifically. And the fact that you think that you need it in order to get clients, but using it makes you feel like you're failing, is creating a bigger mindset block than any amount of money it could ever help you actually generate. So unless you can get in right relationship with yourself, like I see this as a marketing tool, full stop, I'm going to use it as a marketing tool, full stop. I'm not going to overexert and extend myself, trying to contort myself in such a way that is so far out of my zone of genius of how I like to communicate what it is that I do that I'm not even really sure that I love what it is that I'm posting. You would be better served using other client acquisition strategies to build your business. I teach 6 of them in my signature course, Business Witch, only one of which is social media. That course will be relaunching in May. For those of you listening to this sometime in the distant future, at this time, it might change, but at this time, we relaunch Business Witch every single earth sign season. So Taurus season, Capricorn season, and Virgo season, or January, May, and September. For those of you who are like, I have no idea what months those are. So you can pop into the program and learn how to market not online there. But if you take anything from this episode, it's that it's possible to do that, that you do not need it. And if you're using it in a way that is so far outside of the scope of your own authenticity, it's probably not going to be that successful for you anyway. All right, next week, we're going to have an episode all about creating a profitable one-on-one offer, which will be very, very fun. I'm excited to share that one with you all. And then I think probably my favorite one in this series is going to come out last. It is the Intersectional Feminist Money Mindset podcast episode. So that will drop 2 Mondays from now. Make sure that you're subscribed to get the notifications when they drop. And for those of you who are interested in booking a systems audit session with me, it's a special I'm running in February of 2024. So happy leap year, y'all. We will be running this special till February 29th or until first come, first serve. I sell 10 of these. It is an opportunity for me to go through your entire business structure and make sure that it is set up to convert to paying customers. I will edit your nurture sequence. I will edit your website. I will edit your offer pages. I will look at where people are coming from and whether or not they're converting at the rate that you want them to. And if they're not, what you could do to increase or change that. You also get a one-on-one coaching session with me. There are payment plans available, and you can check that out by clicking the link in the show notes. And if you're like, I don't even know if my business is set up in a way that that service would be applicable to me, shoot me a little DM on Instagram. We can talk about it. Again, those are first come, first serve, and I cannot wait to get all up in your systems and show you why people are not buying your services. It's going to be fun, I promise. All right, y'all, I'll see you next Monday on another episode of Business Witch.